supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord and Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salam. So welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. And for this episode, we have an interesting topic. We're going to speak about bringing up daughter in a Muslim family.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please, you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Today, Friday, is the 6th of Zilqa'dah, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri Calendar, corresponding to the 5th of Khordad, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri Calendar, and 26th of the May, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. This is Chapter Al-Kawthar we listen to.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar.
Indeed, we have granted you, O Muhammad, al-kawthar.
Fasalli li rabbika wanhar.
So pray to your Lord and sacrifice to Him alone.
Inna shani'aka huwal abtar.
Indeed, your enemy is the one cut off.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Okay, what is the occasion of revelation? Asa ibn Wa'il, who was one of the chiefs of the pagans, met the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. He spoke with him for a while. In the meantime, a group of men were sitting in the mosque. When Asa ibn Wa'il entered the mosque, they asked him, "To whom were you speaking?" He answered, "With this Abtar one." He used this word for the Prophet to taunt him, because he had two sons born of Lady Khadija who died in Mecca, and so there was no live male issue for the Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny. Abtar means the animal whose tail is cut off. To console the Holy Prophet, this surah was revealed with the glad tidings of the greatest amount or the highest degree of the grace of Allah bestowed on him.
Is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
The blessing of having the daughter. Yes, this is our topic for this episode of today's special. It is narrated in a hadith. Suppose parents are kind and generous towards their daughters. Then try will be close to the Holy Prophet in Jannah, like one finger is to the next. The Holy Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, also explained that a person who faces hardship while raising daughter makes sabr or patience, then his daughters will be a curtain between him and hell. The encouragement to seek children covers both sons and daughters. Aligned with this general encouragement, Islam gives special merits to seeking and bringing up girls. In the past, people hated their daughters, but the Messenger of Islam, Muhammad, came elevating the status of this gift given by Allah, welcoming the daughters, and raising the importance for raising daughters with words to delight the hearts of the believing fathers and bring joy to their souls. Whoever takes care of two girls until they reach adulthood, he and I will come together on the day of resurrection, and he interlaced his fingers, meaning in paradise.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his beautiful progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are going to talk about the Islamic perspective in upbringing the girls and our daughters. Teaching a positive attitude to the girl. Of course, a positive attitude does not mean that we violate realism. Contrary to yellow psychology, a positive attitude cannot always be used. But imagine that that our daughter has a problem and failure in a friendly relationship. She tries to reach a goal but underestimates herself. So, first of all, we should give the necessary information about her personality and human differences with boys and men. After that, teach our child, based on Islamic education, that many things happen due to negative attitudes. So these sort of direct and indirect teachings and educations and trainings can be constructive. According to the principles of Islamic education, loving a girl is one of the most important and vital issues that every human being will need. Based on genetic structure and moral characteristics, girls will have an urgent need for this until old age. Otherwise, they search for it in a context other than the family and eventually get involved in many moral problems, the simplest of which is violating the values.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your
from the things that is beneficial to teach our daughters is that she understands that her kindness and forgiveness is her strongest weapon. Teach your daughters that their ability to forgive and their inner kindness is their greatest strength. They will meet many people in their course through life, in-laws, neighbors, friends, colleagues, and some of them will hurt them and cause distress. Teach them that the best way to deal with them is to forgive and reply with kindness. Tell your daughters that if they hold back their anger and exercise kindness, it will bring to them the happiness that no revenge can bring. Today's challenge for girls, what is it? In society, women are being objectified on a daily basis. The idea of beauty in this day and age has been sexualized. Young girls look at them and they feel marginalized by this idea and feel they have to act, look, and talk a certain way to be noticed. So how are we as Muslim parents supposed to equip Muslim girls with the means to fight such dominating influences? Islam never view men higher than women. Instead, woman is valued really highly in Islam, so that there is one particular surah dedicated only for women in the Holy Quran. Let's cherish and love daughters as much as we could, as daughters is the fastest shortcut to Jannah.
One of the companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam by the name of As-Sakuni. He comes to the Imam, دَخَلْتُ عَلَى الصَّادِقُ وَأَنَا مَغْمُومٌ مَكْرُوبٌ. He says, I came to visit Imam Sadiq and I was sad. I was heartbroken. فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ يَا سَكُونِي مَا غَمُّكَ. Oh Sakuni, what's wrong? Why are you so sad? قُلْتُ وُلِدَتْ لِي بِنْتُ. He said, I had a daughter. So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he tells him, Ya saquni ala al-ardi thiqluha. Her weight is not going to be on your shoulders. You don't have to carry her, don't worry. Ala al-ardi thiqluha. The earth is carrying her. Wa ala Allahi rizquha. And God is going to give her her rizq. Ta'ishu fi ghayri ajalik. She's not going to take from your life. Your life has been written and her life has been written. She's not going to take from you. وَتَأْكُلْ مِنْ غَيْرِ رِزْقِكَ. And the food that she eats, it's not your food. The food that God has written for you, that's separate. And the food that God has written for her. And every person, they have their own rizq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. No one is going to eat someone else's rizq. Because that's the rizq, that's the sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. So he said, when the Imam told me this, فَسُرَّ وَاللَّهُ غَمِّي. So he said, when the Imam told me this, I became very happy. So sometimes some people just need a reminder that he was a good companion of the Imam alayhi salam. So the Imam tells him, مَا سَمَّيْتُهَا. What did you name her? قُلْتُ فَاطِمَة. He said, the Imam tells me, what did you name her? He said, I said Fatima. He said, as soon as I said Fatima, قَالَ آه ثُمَّ وَضَعَ يَدَهُ عَلَى جَبْهَتِهِ وَكَأَنِّي بِهِ قَدْ بَكَى. The Imam, he started saying ah, and he started crying when he heard the name Fatima. He says, إِذَا سَمَّيْتُهَا فَاطِمَا فَلَا تَسُبُّهَا. Now that you've named her Fatima, you don't call her a bad name. فَلَا تَسُبُّهَا وَلَا تَضْرُبُهَا. And you don't lay your hands on her. وَلَا تَلْعَنُهَا. And you don't curse her. هَذَا الْإِسْمُ مُحْتَرَمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. This is a name that is protected with Allah, that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. This is the name of Fatima alayhi salam, Fatima al-Zahra.
So, inshallah, we continue on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, inshallah. Till then, fi amanillah.
They told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? Told me there is nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer, I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, let us contemplate on what the Holy Prophet's eighth infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Raza, peace be upon him, has to say regarding good neighbours. Use good neighbourhood with the graces, for they are wild. They will not return if they leave. Thank you. Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This hadith is about the fear of Allah, and specifically it is about the fruits that the fear of Allah bears and leads to. As you know, the fear of Allah is one of the most central, perhaps the most central virtue in the totality of Islamic morals and ethics, to the extent that in the Holy Quran, as you know, God Almighty says that the noblest of you human beings is the one who is the most fearful of God and the most pious. In this beautiful hadith, the Holy Prophet, he describes the results and the fruits that the fear of Allah leads to. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Allah, blessed and most high, says, by my honor and majesty. So this hadith, as you can see, it is a hadith-e Qudsi or a sacred hadith. As you know, these are types of hadith in which the Prophet or one of the A'imma alayhim as-salam, they relate something from God Almighty directly. Similar to the case of the Quran. The Quran is God's words. And so are these sacred hadiths. The difference is that these sacred hadiths are not technically a part and parcel of revelation in the Quran. In any case, the Prophet relates the following from God himself. God says, by my honor and majesty, so he swears by his honor and majesty, indicating the importance of the subject. I do not combine two types of fear for my servant, neither do I combine two types of security for him. If he feels secure from me and my punishment in this world, I will frighten him on the day of resurrection. And if he fears me in this world, I will provide security for him on the day of resurrection. So one of the, therefore, based on this hadith, we can say that one of the fruits of the fear of God is the fact, in this world, is the fact that in the hereafter, this person who adopted the fear of God, was afraid of God in this world, he will not be afraid and he will remain safe in the hereafter, and God will grant him security, you know, from the fire of hell. Whereas conversely, if somebody is not afraid of God in this world and he doesn't be careful about God's stipulates and his laws and his ordinances in this world, then in the hereafter, this person will be extreme, you know, obviously he will be afflicted with fear and insecurity on the day of resurrection. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the fruits and consequences of the fear of God and the adoption of the fear of God in this world. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions in practical tajweed rules held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. So I really, really welcome you all, and also our brothers here, Brother Ali Nasir and Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah and Fawad Haider. So without wasting the time, today we'll talk about Ayah 121 and the next Ayah 122 in Surah Ali Imran on page 65.
So and 66.
And page 66. Yeah, on the top of page 66. So, everybody, let's once listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ إِذْ هَمَّتْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ تَفْشَلَا وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّهُمَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ.
That was nice recitation. Alhamdulillah. So, don't worry, okay? You will be reciting the same, inshallah. Even you might recite better, okay? Practice. And brothers and sisters, stay with us till the end of this session, inshallah. We'll practice the recitation at the end, okay? After mentioning the important tajweed rules. So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah Almighty, in Ayah 121 in Surah Ali Imran, says, وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ
وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. In the next ayah, إِذْ هَمَّتْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ تَفْشَلَا وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّهُمَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. So I'll mention some important points, okay? In these two verses, I attained, then inshallah we'll move on to the Tajweed rules. First, listen to the translation. وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. O Prophet, when you left your family at dawn, early in the morning, تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, to settle the faithful in their positions for battle, okay? لِلْمَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ, to deploy them on their certain positions. It talks about the battle of Uhud after the battle of Badr, okay? The battle of Uhud, where unfortunately the Muslims were defeated because of, like some Muslims, okay? When Prophet ﷺ deployed them, okay? Had given them instructions, settled them on certain positions, okay? Some of them on the top of mountains, they have to, archers. So Prophet ﷺ had settled some archers, okay, on the mountain, okay, and told them never back down, never go for what? For the money, for their, for example, swords, the enemies, okay? Stay there, okay, firm, okay? You have to protect all the Muslims down the mountain, okay? But unfortunately, they left their position and, yeah, the Muslims were defeated, okay? And Prophet had warned them early. So Allah says, وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ, when you left your family at dawn to settle the faithful in their positions for battle, وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ, and Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. And in the next ayah, when إِذْ هَمَّ الطَّائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ, when two groups among you were about to lose courage, to lose their confidence, وَاللَّهُ وَلِيهُمَا, though Allah is their guardian, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, and in Allah let all the faithful put their trust. So, some messages from these two verses. First, we all have to listen to our prophet, to the leader. The victory, okay, the victory can come to you when you listen to your leader, when you follow your leader. Alright? If Muslim community, if they listened at that time in Battle of Uhud, in the Battle of Badr, okay, they listened to the Prophet, they won the fight, okay, the battle, okay, they were victorious, okay, they defeated their enemies. In the Battle of Uhud, unfortunately, they didn't listen for money, for wealth, these things, they ran away, okay, they left their positions, so they were defeated, okay. So in all areas of life, if you follow the instructions of somebody who is older than you, somebody who is more knowledgeable than you, not even your leader, okay, somebody who is more knowledgeable than you, your parents, your friends, your teachers, sometimes they give you instructions about many things, your studies, your timetable management, about the energy that you have nowadays, okay, you're so active. So about any instructions they give you, okay, do not think like they don't want you to have your fun, okay, they want you, but they are older than you. They have experienced, okay? They were the same age as you, okay? They have experienced what you have done, what you are going to do, okay? They have experienced all these things. First and foremost, I tell myself, okay? So then to you. So we have to listen to the instructions. If we want to get good results, listen to the instructions. Your leaders, if your leader says do this, you should do that. If Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says do this, we have to do that. Okay, in the early Islam, when Prophet was coming back from a battle, okay, in near Mecca or Medina, they were okay. So Prophet said that break your fasts, okay, to the Muslims. Prophet himself broke his fast, okay, because they were on a trip, okay, and told the Muslims, okay, break your fast. But some Muslims did not break their fast. They said, no, we'll not break our fasts. We should fast. They didn't listen to the Prophet. Okay. So we should listen to the Prophet, to the leader, to the Imam. That's the first message we can understand from this. Wallahu sami'un alim. Allah knows. Allah is all hearing, all knowing. Even if you don't listen, Allah knows this. Okay? And yeah. In the next ayah, there is one more message إِذْ هَمَّ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ. Sometimes, maybe, nowadays as well, we are in a battle with our enemies. So, maybe a lot of Muslims will back down, okay? Will lose their courage. They say, oh God, we cannot fight the enemies. They are so strong, right? What should we do? Give them courage. Encourage them. Give them energy. That's it. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. We all have to put our trust in Allah Almighty, okay? Relying on God.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا
القرآن. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So inshallah, for more messages, explanations, I'm sure you have to refer to the Tafsir books and you will find inshallah a lot of things, okay? That's it from these two verses. Now we'll mention the Tajweed rules, then inshallah we'll move on to the recitation. وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. Hussein, what do you think? The pronunciation of the letters? Huh? Which letters are important?
Yes. ذَال and غَيْن.
غَيْن, واو as well.
Yeah.
إِ, Hamza as well. مِنْ أَهْلِكَ.
ها, Hamza.
Soft one. Good. تُبَوِّئُ.
Again, Hamza.
Hamza. الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
Again, Hamza.
مَقَاعِدَ.
عين قاف.
Good job. Fawad, continue. للقتال والله
قاف and لام.
Good job. والله ها ها. These are important. سميع ها
عين
عليم. Again, عين. And the next ayah. إذ همت ها and ذال. Good job. حسن. طائفتان. طا. Good job. منكم أن تفشلا والله. Ali Nasir, Wallahu waliyuhuma. The letter ha, right?
Yeah, ha.
Wa ala Allahi falyatawakkal mu'minun, ayn, ha, and hamza. So, these are in terms of letters, okay? Pronounce them correctly. Pay attention. Now, wa idh gha. Gha has a heavy sound. This is an important point. Wa idh ghadawta nu. Wa idh gha. Ghadawta. Min ahlik. Nun sakin plus hamza. Idhar. Clearly read the nun. No changes. Min ahlika. You see that ya, tubawwi'u, ya.
Yes.
So ya is just the base for hamza. So you don't have to read it. You tubayyul. Yuyul, okay? Tubawwi'yul. It's difficult, yes? So it's not tubawwi'yul. Tubawwi'ul. Ya is just the base.
Yes.
As we said, hamza comes with alif, on the top of alif, on the top, on the bottom of alif, on the top of ya, on the top of waw. So these letters are just bases for hamza. We have to pronounce the hamza. Mu'minina. Look, mu'minina. Waw on the top of waw, you have hamza. Waw is just the base. Maqa'ida. Qaf has a heavy sound. Qa'ida. Lil qital. Qila tells you?
Better to stop.
Stopping expert. Good job. Better to stop, but you still can continue. Wallahu. Waw has a fatha. The letter lam in the word Allah will be pronounced
heavily,
since we have a fatha sound before. Wallahu sami'un alim. Tanween plus ayn, ayn matches
throat letters.
Good job. The rule idhar is applied. Wallahu sami'un alim. That's it from this for this ayah. If hammat mi mushaddad, stretch it for two counts. Hammat ta. Ah, look.
Here was your rule.
Ah, ta plus ta. Do you see ta ta? So these are identical letters, kind of the same letters, similar letters. So you skip
the first.
You merge them actually. إِذْ هَمَّ طَى. It means you don't read the ta, instead you double the ta. هَمَّ طَائِفَتَانِ. طَى has a heavy sound. The mad is also wajib. You should stretch it for 4, 5, 6 counts. مِنْكُمْ. مِنْكُمْ. نُنْ سَاكِنْ كَافْ إِخْفَى. Hide the sound of نُنْ. مِنْكُمْ. Antafshala. Again, antafshala.
Akhfa.
Hide the sound of noon. Wallahu waliyuhuma. Pronounce the word Allah as with a full mouth. Wallahu waliyuhuma. قِلَا, as Hassan said, it's better to stop, but you still can continue. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. There is no other important point. So, 1 minute to finish. We'll practice, inshallah, the recitation. Ready?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ
وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ
وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ
والله سميع عليم
إذ هم الطائفتان منكم أن تفشلا والله وليهما
إذ هم الطائفتان منكم أن تفشلا والله وليهما
وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون
وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. That's from us for today. And thank you so much for being with us, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for joining us. Inshallah, we really recommend you stay with the IRB English Radio every day, inshallah, with the Quranic session. We are at your services. Fawad Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir, thank you so much. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we're going to be examining a very interesting and perplexing question, which a lot of people mention. A cursory glance at the verses of the Holy Quran raise this question within the mind. That question is, why is it that the prophets, various prophets, were sent with various miracles? You know, like, for example, the prophet Moses, you know, he was sent with a staff that turned into a snake. And, you know, other things that were, you know, he presented in the courtyard of the Pharaoh. And the Prophet Jesus, he was sent with the power of healing, and he brought, you know, dead people to life. You know, there was these kind of miracles. And the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he was sent with the Quran. So what is the reason behind this diversity of miracles of the Prophet? Now, of course, you know, before we get to one of the answers that we want to present for this question, we can say that it's not true to say that, you know, just because the Quran is the miracle, everlasting miracle of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't perform other miracles similar in nature to the miracles of the previous prophets and the prophets before him, right? You know, but yes, the main miracle of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the miracle of the Quran. In response to the question that we posed, we can say the following, that we have a hadith from Imam Hadi alayhi salam, in which he alludes to the reason behind this. A person named Ibn Sikit, he asks the Imam about the reason for Allah sending the Prophet Moses with the staff that turned into a snake, his illuminated hand and magic as a resource, and is sending Prophet Jesus with medicine as a resource, and is sending Prophet Muhammad with speech and eloquence. The Imam, in response to this question, he said the following, "Verily, when Allah sends Moses, the trend prevalent among the people of the time was magic. So he brought them something from Allah, the like of which they were incapable of producing, which thwarted their magic, and with which he demonstrated the proof against them. And verily, Allah sent Jesus at a time when paralytic diseases were widespread, and people needed medicine. So he brought them something from Allah, the like of which they did not have, and with which he brought life to the dead, cured the blind and the leper with Allah's permission, and demonstrated the proof against them. And verily Allah sent Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, at an era when the prevalent trend among the people of the time was speech and eloquence. So he brought to them Allah's exhortations and wisdoms with which he thwarted their words and with which he demonstrated the proof against them." Right, so the gist of the answer of the Imam, as you can see, is that each prophet was sent with the different miracles because each prophet was sent with a miracle that was suitable to the time in which he, and the place in which he was delegated and sent. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the reason behind the diversity of the Prophet's miracles. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
The Last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah, you are our true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
We're waiting for you to be by your side.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. You're listening to The Last Savior. This is your host, Zainab Askari. Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family, said, "If a person does not know the Imam of his time, the person will die the death of an ignorant." Which means it makes us, for us, very important to know about the Imam of our time, because whatever the degrees we are amassing, holding, collecting, and at the same time not knowing about the Imam of our time, it's as good as being ignorant. May Allah not make us among those who die the death of an ignorant. So in this program, we try to make sure that we provide you with the maximum possible information about the Imam of our time. On that note, today in our studio, we have with us guest speaker, the Islamic researcher, Dr. Ali Alavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be here.
So, Dr. Alavi, in our previous episode, you said that for the arrival of Imam, Allah will provide the things overnight, and we got to be prepared. What is important is our will to be prepared. We should not be waiting for, like, now there are signs of reappearance, and now we should be waiting. One sign will take place in the first year, another sign may take time, so it's not necessary for me to get prepared, like, right now. You said things can change overnight. What is important? Our readiness.
Yes, we have been saying that what is important, we have to keep our sincerity and ikhlas. And maintaining this ikhlas is very important, because we believe that the things will be prepared overnight for the arrival and advent of. And we had many examples, the examples of the Prophet Moses, Musa alayhi salam, that all the things got prepared for him overnight. And so it is will of Allah, and it is possible. I want to refer to one important statement of Imam Ali alayhi salam with regard to this important point, that is maintaining the ikhlas of a person or sincerity. Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salam, the commander of the faithful, in the peak of eloquence, Najul Balagha, says that about the Iblis. He said that is, he was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for more than 6,000 years. He could not keep it. It means that there was no sincerity either at the beginning or in the middle. But at the end of it, something happened that he was actually dismissed from the Jannah. So we want to say that if we are going to prepare ourselves for the arrival of Imam Ali Salam, we have not to get entrapped with these, let's say, tricks that comes to us. I mean, with these doubts that comes to us from different sides and different angles. That, okay, he has not yet come and everything is not prepared for his arrival and his advent. No, everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same God that can protect Nuh on the oceans. The same God that can protect Yunus prophet inside the water, inside the oceans, in the stomach
of a whale.
In the stomach of a whale, the same God can prepare everything for the arrival of the Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Because it is his promise. He said in his book, that is, that I want to appoint them on the earth. This is the will of God here with us. So we have too many examples of Allah's power that shows us that this Allah is the Almighty, the Allah that can do everything. The same Allah that can give, for example, a small tree fruit, but a long tree with big trunk has no fruit. Yeah. The same God can give this small tree fruit, but the bigger one with no fruit and with no product.
Yeah.
So these are the will of, as we said again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no will of human being involved here.
We'll discuss more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old morning.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. We have Dr. Ali Alavi with us, and we have been saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change things overnight because He's the Almighty, He's the All-Powerful. If He wishes, if He wills, He can save a life in the midst of the storms, and He can change things definitely overnight, and He can prepare for the arrival of Imam overnight. What is required is our will, our sincerity, our preparedness.
Let me add one more example due to this earthquake that happened in Turkey.
Yeah.
Again, one kid was even in the arms of his mother.
Yeah.
And all the family passed away, but he, after, let's say, 10 days, got survived.
Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we say, إن الله على كل شيء قدير. So we got to be believing in this. Well, Dr. Alavi, we have something, there are some narrations which say that, like from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, it's quoted that earth will get fulfilled with justice when Imam is going to come, like it's fulfilled with injustice before his arrival. Many Imams quoted from Prophet, and then we have been listening to these narrations, and they are valid ones. So what do we understand by that? Do we have to be doing oppression before he comes, or do we have to be witnessing oppression? Because witnessing oppression is also like being a part of the oppressors.
Yes, look, in the hadith that is the famous hadith which says that يَمْلَأُ اللَّهُ بِهَا الْأَرْضْ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلَا كَمَا مُلَى ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. It has been narrated from different imams, and let's say even from the Holy Prophet, that he will come while the earth has been filled with oppression. But here, oppression can be done by one or two or three oppressors.
Okay.
So it's not our duty to stay silent and just look for the oppression or to become an oppressor for the arrival of the imam. Let's us to be among the oppressors of that imam. No, it does not say that the earth is going to be filled with oppression.
Yeah.
That is, people violate the rights of others. I mean, these people can be one or two, but not all the people. The rest are under pressure. So
it is like the earth is going to be filled with oppression.
Yeah.
We can put it like this. And this oppression can be done by one or two people, or...
One oppressor can violate the rights of many other peoples. Like, namely, in the war that was between Iran and Iraq.
Okay.
There was a mad person called Saddam.
Okay.
That killed more than 200,000 people from our country, and almost doubled off this number from his own country. So there was an oppressor and oppressed lots of people, right?
In two countries.
Yeah, in two countries. And he killed more than what he killed from ours, I mean, even inside his own country, just because he was a dictator. So we see that a person, one single witness and one single evidence is enough for us to fly toward the other cases.
Yeah. Dr. Levy will discuss more after a short break. The listeners, stay tuned. Welcome back. You're listening to The Last Savior. We have Dr. Ali Alavi with us, and we're discussing about oppression. Before Imam is going to come, does world have to be witnessing oppression, or do we got to be doing oppression? Dr. Alavi is helping us.
So we said that there is a difference between oppression and oppressor, and this hadith never tells us to